Welcome to The Strategic Investor. Join us as we interview some of the world's most productive asset managers and uncover sophisticated and unique investment strategies in the markets. Here is your host, Charlie Wright.
Hello and welcome to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio, where we bring you investment strategies you are not hearing elsewhere. We'd like to welcome for the very first time Griffin Rolander, founding partner at Scow Capital, a cryptocurrency fund, and he speaks to us from their headquarters in Boston. Griffin, welcome to Strategic Investor Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Charlie.
So, Griffin, you've been investing in cryptocurrency space since 2016, like most people that I know would like to be able to say. You founded Scow Capital to generate cryptocurrency alpha through a beta-hedged strategy, and we're going to count on you to explain that. You believe that altcoins are superior to Bitcoin, and why security token offerings are superior to initial coin offerings. So let's start with a little background of yours here, Griffin.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm probably younger than most of the other guests that you have on your podcast. I'm 23 now, but you know, I actually was exposed to investing relatively early. I think I was 13 when I bought my first stock. It was actually a regional bank stock in 2009. So,
well, good timing anyway here.
Exactly. And you know, I was kind of hooked on it early, traded aggressively. I think I started with maybe $300. And by the time I was in college, I had generated about $30,000. So I'd had good success, you know, went through a bunch of different strategies, got into options, worked out a trade with looking at implied volatility versus historic volatility of stocks and putting on straddles and strangles. So I've always been very, very interested in that. You know, in college, I was majored in math and quant econ, but graduated a little early and was working at a quantitative hedge fund. And they eventually brought me on full time. And that's kind of my background in the hedge fund space. So I've gotten some quant exposure and have had my own investing exposure. But yeah, the cryptocurrency space and Bitcoin space is really unique because most of the people who are investors in the space don't really have background in investments. They're mostly people who were learning about cryptography or studying cryptography, computer programmers. And so, you know, they don't quite, Bitcoin fanboys is kind of what, you know, some people refer to them. And, you know, I really found that it's a good opportunity if you can combine the computer science background with an investment background, you can really create a vehicle that's attractive because there's a huge barrier to entry with any cryptocurrency investment. And that's the fact that you're effectively investing into a relatively complex code. And most hedge fund investors don't quite understand that. So, you know, I combined forces actually with a software engineer from TripAdvisor who also was early into Bitcoin investing and really interested in blockchain technology and smart contracts. And, you know, really at the early stages, we just kind of researched and we didn't always have the initial idea to start a hedge fund. We talked about creating our own cryptocurrency, creating actually other investment vehicles to get cryptocurrency exposure, such as we almost created a levered ETF product that tracks Bitcoin and Ethereum price, but some other applications built on top of Ethereum. But we ultimately settled on a hedge fund and trying to build a product that institutional investors could and you know, higher net worth investors could really be attracted to and understand.
So tell us here, Griffin, first of all, I'm sure that it's kind of like trying to form jello here, dealing with the total cryptocurrency space. There are new cryptocurrencies coming out all the time. We're hearing more and more and more about scams, and we've certainly heard a lot about that over the past 6 months to a year. So how do you approach it? What makes you unique, and why do you think that your approach can work here?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It's kind of, you know, from my perspective, it's a shame how many scams have came into the space and successfully raised money and gotten away with it. There's actually, you can look up a coin called Pincoin that was based, I think it was Israel, or it might not have been Israel. It wasn't Israel, actually, but they raised $660 million and exit scammed. So it really is, you know, it's really amazing that something like that can happen. But
yeah, I think that was Vietnam. Yeah.
It could have been, yeah. So, you know, our strategy was really built initially from an academic point of view where, you know, we saw this blockchain technology and we saw the massive potential disruption and increased efficiency that it could deliver to the global economy. So the first thing we did was we looked at every sector in the economy, identified 9 sectors that are really going to benefit from blockchain technology, tried to estimate what we thought their total market opportunity was, whether that was increased efficiency or creating new potential market opportunity. And then we overlaid that with something that we've coined as adoption friction. So, you know, blockchain is, and cryptocurrency is, a new technology. And whenever there's a new technology, there's some resistance to adopt it because, you know, it's unknown. There's some uncertainty around it. You know, it's not standard and it hasn't been tested on a large scale. So we looked in and based on history and really understanding the sector, tried to quantify and estimate how long and how difficult it will be to adopt the blockchain technology. So, for example, I say, let's look at healthcare. You know, there are a lot of different moving parts in healthcare. You have insurers, you have wholesalers, you have PBMs, you have the doctors, you have the actual patient, et cetera. And really to see wide-scale efficiency in that setting, you need all different parties that are independent from one another to be on the blockchain. And, you know, hospitals aren't even fully on electronic records yet. So, you know, that's going to be a slow-moving industry. And although there's a lot of opportunity and disruption there, it's just not something that's going to take place early in cryptocurrency's lifespan. Whereas you look at something like supply chain management, one company themselves can, you know, track a product from end to end on their supply chain and upload that to the blockchain with modern technology. And that can, you know, eliminate any trust issue between parties. It can, you know, if it's on an immutable ledger, there's no more lying. It can reduce time. It can reduce cost. And it's really easy because the end user, which would be the customer that's purchasing that good that was on the supply chain or that service, is not interacting with the cryptocurrency. You know, it's happening on the back end with the company. And so that would have a lower adoption friction. And so from there, we then try to, we identified target exposures. So, you know, 30% in supply chain, 15% in data services, 10% in the sharing economy, et cetera. And we, within that sector, diversified based on our conviction levels into 3 or 5 different coins. And so, you know, with that perspective, we actually have a systematic, repeatable strategy where we can invest in these cryptocurrencies and we're diversified. Whereas I'd imagine most other hedge funds are just kind of picking the coins that they like, not going about it methodically. And on top of that, we're actually hedging the book. So we have developed a quantitative signal for hedging our portfolio, which ultimately gives us protection on the downside and really creates an uncorrelated return stream to Bitcoin's price.
And so that was my question. You hedge it against what, Bitcoin price?
Yep, we primarily use Bitcoin futures, but you know, you can get direct short borrows on the market.
And do these other altcoins that you're investing in, do they have a high correlation with Bitcoin?
Yes and no. They have a high correlation in periods of market stress. So when Bitcoin's down, maybe more than 7%, but really in rising to stable market conditions, you don't see high correlations, especially when you have a diversified portfolio.
Okay. Okay. And so you guys, as a hedge fund, then you have the normal issues with hedge funds in terms of lack of liquidity and performance fees, etc.?
Yep. We are charging 1.5 and 20. And it's quarterly liquidity.
Okay. And you are focusing on institutions of family offices and public and private retirement funds, etc.?
It's mostly high net worth and family offices at this point. Institutions are a little slower moving. And then, you know, with retirement income, you run into ERISA issues.
Right. So what misperceptions or major hurdles do you see having to overcome in working with investors, you know, these institutional type investors who are very savvy investors, obviously, working in the cryptocurrency space? Do they not want to talk about it? Do they recognize it has opportunity, but are they waiting for the SEC to come out and say that, yes, it's going to be regulated and 2 years from now we're going to have the regs? What are the basic feelings of these people and attitudes of these people at this point?
Yeah, I could talk forever about this question. You know, well, for starters, everyone's interested. And even if they're not interested from an investment perspective, they're interested from an information perspective. And, you know, I've never really encountered a space with so much information asymmetry and so much misinformation out there. You know, people are running around saying that cryptocurrency is a black market. It's only good for trading illegal goods, when in reality, fiat currency is used much, much more frequently than these cryptocurrencies. And additionally, you know, with Bitcoin, it's on a public ledger. And if you're cashing out from Bitcoin into fiat currency, you know, you're going to be able to trace that wallet to the person who ultimately has fiat currency. It's not that effective for, you know, illicit activities, which is one of the major misconceptions. But it's really just a misunderstanding of and not being able to link the blockchain to the cryptocurrency. Everyone goes around saying, oh, yes, blockchain is going to be the future of the world. It's going to be the future of technology. But cryptocurrencies, I'm not so sure about. But what's interesting with that concept is that if you have a public blockchain or a public ledger, that means that there really is not a centralized party that's controlling and operating that ecosystem. So, you know, you can't link a fiat currency to that blockchain to pay all these different parties who are running the ecosystem. It's a bunch of independent parties. You hear the term nodes and miners, and these nodes and miners are not hired by any one person. They're actually on their own free will deciding, yeah, I will help support and sustain this ecosystem by using my computer energy. And that's where the hard drives and the miners and the nodes come in. But, you know, it costs them money. How are they going to get paid? If they're not hired by anyone, how are they going to get paid? You can't introduce the U.S. dollar into this. You need to have some sort of financial incentive. And that's where the cryptocurrency comes in, because it's bound to the blockchain. Every time they perform some work on the blockchain or the ecosystem, they get paid in this cryptocurrency. And so the cryptocurrency doesn't represent a stake or equity in whatever you're investing in. It's really buying fuel for the ecosystem, or there's some utility that token offers. So, you know, you need that token to interact within the ecosystem. And I would say the biggest misconception is just people don't understand what cryptocurrencies represent and why they're even there.
You know, that's an excellent point, and I've got to be truthful with you. I'm having a difficult time connecting the blockchain with the altcoins or the security token offerings you're talking about here, and you know, how do they connect? How are they correlated? Why would the increase in one create an increase in the other? And it sounds like that's really a major part of your foundation, whereas it's probably not a major part of the foundation of so many other cryptocurrency people and funds. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, and you know, I think it can be helped by actually explaining maybe a few cryptocurrencies. So, you know, one we like is called Basic Attention Token. Its symbol is BAT, B-A-T. And Basic Attention Token is the unit of account or the currency that is run on the Brave ecosystem. The Brave ecosystem is a new web browser that focuses on user privacy, protection of data. It blocks ads. And the way that this BAT token gains value is that it is how publishers and advertisers can buy ads on this new web browser. And the actual user, so if I have Brave, if I interact with the ads and allow ads to be shown on my web browser, I actually will get paid in these BAT tokens. So it's basically, you know, all of these cryptocurrencies are creating their own ecosystem. I can then buy things on that browser with my BAT tokens, or I can go sell them on an exchange for Bitcoin or convert it into USD, or I can leave it in BAT tokens. And the idea is, you know, we can cut the middleman out. Right now with the digital advertisement industry, there's tons of middlemen. There's a ton of bots that are using foul play and generating fake web traffic. The idea is let's cut all of that stuff out, make this much more efficient from, you know, the only include the parties that need to be involved, and we are going to run it on the blockchain so it's honest, everyone can be held accountable, no one has to trust anyone, and like I said earlier, you need the cryptocurrency if it's going to be a public blockchain.
And so many cryptocurrency funds, they don't really focus on the blockchain. They're just speculating on the value of the cryptocurrency. Is that correct?
Yeah, that could be it. You need to look at the value of the blockchain. You need to look at it's right now. There's you know, valuation of any given cryptocurrency is still a big question mark. No one's really sure if we should use theory of money or if we should be looking at the network usage or if we should be looking at hash rate. So it's still a big question mark. What's nice about our strategy with our hedge is, you know, while we are bullish on cryptocurrencies in general, we're relatively agnostic to the direction of the market because we can be net neutral. Our theory is that these cryptocurrencies with these great use cases, like the basic attention token or tokens focused on supply chain management, like VeChain, you know, we believe that those are going to outperform over time because they're actually generating cost savings. And, you know, Bitcoin itself, the idea of digital gold, you know, that very well could happen, but there's a lot of friction there because a lot of the wealth is tied up in older generations. An older generation is, you know, they're less resistant to change. If someone has $1 billion of the U.S. dollar, they're probably pretty happy with the way that the USD has treated them over the last 50 or so years. They probably don't have a reason to transition to the Bitcoin,
right,
and use this digital gold. Whereas someone in Venezuela or Argentina or Korea, you know, they might have a different viewpoint on that. And, you know, you see this happen where, like Turkey, when the lira depreciated in value a few weeks ago by about 20% in a week, you saw a huge transaction spike in Bitcoin from Turkey. And so people really are seeing it as a flight to quality, a flight to safety maybe, which is pretty interesting. But, you know, most of the wealth in the world is tied up in stable valued fiat currencies with, you know, no real intention or need to change anytime soon.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. You know, Zimbabwe and right now Brazil and Turkey and Venezuela, those folks have got to be very interested in cryptocurrencies, whether they be Bitcoin or whatever they are here. And so the reactions, do you guys go out and try to meet with these family offices and the like, and are they giving somewhat positive reactions here?
Yeah, I think almost everyone that we've talked to are very interested in the space. A bunch of them have already moved in the space and are invested. You know, and the ones that aren't are considering it, and you know they have interest, whether it's the person they're managing money from, or you know whether it's themselves out of this information curiosity. And there's really not that many people left who are under the impression that this is a dying industry and it's going away, which is interesting because, you know, if you read the media, you might think so.
That's right. You would think so, reading the media. Very interesting. So a question we'd like to ask all of our guests here, Griffin, what keeps you awake at night?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier in my days in cryptocurrency, I would check prices 3-4 times a night because it was so volatile, and it still is volatile, but you know, I've kind of gotten used to the volatility and have really taken an approach of a longer time horizon, which has kind of allowed me to sleep a little bit better. And you know, now that we have our hedge, it gives me, you know, a little bit more security. When we're fully invested and fully long, you know, I might be a little bit more nervous, but you know, when that happens, that means our signals are firing, and so you know, you can at least trust the signal.
Right. So another question we ask all of our guests here, Griffin, what book on investing would you recommend for our listeners?
Yeah, so I think, you know, my favorite book, which might not be investment advice, is The Quants by Scott Patterson.
Yeah, I read that. Excellent. Very interesting book, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of gives you the idea there's always someone out there smarter than you.
Well, especially for a math major, because that's where they came from, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The math wizards on Wall Street.
Yeah, the quants. Well, that's excellent. So for those who would like to know more, Griffin, give us your contact and website information, will you?
Sure. So my email is griffin@scowcapital.com, SCOWCAPITAL. And our website is www.scoutcapital.com. So pretty simple.
Okay. So final words for our listeners here, Griffin.
You know, it's a brave new world out there, and there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of reason that people are hesitant to move into the space, whether that's regulation, whether that's volatility, whether that's just not being able to sell the chief investment officer for these institutions or not having the approval yet. But, you know, that's all creating a significant amount of opportunity. And so, you know, I would say it's still in the first inning of being developed.
And I don't think many would disagree with you other than those who write for the Wall Street Journal and the like here. So, Griffin, thank you very much for joining us today. Our best wishes to you and everybody at Scow Capital. And let me congratulate you. We've had well over 300 interviews, and I am sure you are the youngest person we have interviewed ever on this show. And so at 23 years old, to be running a hedge fund, to be involved in cryptocurrency, to have been invested in cryptocurrency for a couple of years, you are to be congratulated, to definitely be forward-looking and not just starting at 13 years old, but continuing that particular habit and attitude. And I'm sure it will serve you well. And our best wishes for continued success here of you and Scout Capital.
Great. Thanks for having me, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Again, we've been talking with Griffin Rolander, founding partner at Scow Capital out of Boston. And they generate cryptocurrency alpha through a beta hedged strategy using altcoins superior to Bitcoin, and why security token offerings are superior to initial coin offerings. You've been listening to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio. We'd love to hear from you. info@strategicinvestorradio.com. Go to our website, hear podcasts of all of our interviews and shows, strategicinvestorradio.com. I'm Charlie Wright, wishing you an enjoyable week and productive investing.
Strategic Investor Radio is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. Content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host Charlie Wright or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.